Let's pray. Lord God, draw us close that as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed, let your word be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Romans, the 13th chapter, the 8th through the 14th verses. This morning I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. Hear now the word of God. Don't be in debt to anyone except for the obligation to love each other. Whoever loves another person has fulfilled the law. The commandments: don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't desire what others have, and any other commandments are all summed up in one word: you must love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't do anything wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what fulfills the law. As you do all this, you know what time it is. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. Now, our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. The night is almost over, and the day is near. So let's get rid of the actions that belong to the darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let's behave appropriately as people who live in the day, not partying and getting drunk, not in sleeping around and obscene behavior, not in fighting and obsession. Instead, dress yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't plan to indulge your selfish desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Several months ago, I was planning for this month. We'd gotten through with the series, The Truth, You Shall Know the Truth, and the Truth Shall Set You Free. I had to have a month in here before we get to a stewardship campaign, so I'm encouraging you to do that. And so when I started figuring out what I was going to preach based on the lectionary, because in between series, that's what I typically preach from, is the lectionary, I looked, and one of the dangers of being at a place for a long time is by the time you get to your ninth year, you've preached most of the scriptures that you want to preach on a given Sunday. And I looked and I thought, okay. And then I looked and I said, well, I have not preached from Romans 13. I said, I will preach from this. And then when I started thinking about this and praying over this and preparing for today, I said to myself, precious, you're going to preach about love one more time? And my other personality that I have in my head said, yes, because they need to hear it. Because they don't do it. And neither do you. So that's why we're doing it. Because one of those personalities in my head said you needed it. One personality said you didn't need it. Now, those of you who are visiting are thinking something weird of me. But I looked at the other scriptures for the lectionary. For the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, in the year, the A year, and the scripture for this week is Matthew 18. It is about community. Community. It begins with Jesus, and his disciples do what they tend to do from time to time. If you might remember, they did this on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. They were having an argument in the upper room about who was the greatest. They have an obsession. It's who is going to be the greatest. And so they come in the 18th chapter of Matthew. They come to Jesus and they ask him, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And he pulls a child into the mix. A child. Now, this is what I know about children and babies. They cry. Babies are selfish, aren't they? Anybody who's ever had a baby, known one that does not cry when they don't get what they want? They always want what they want when they want it, don't they? And some of you still hadn't grown up. We want it, what we want, when we want it. And so, it's not because they are so special, it's that because they're small. It's because they are dependent on their father and mother. And the greatest in the kingdom of God are those who have a dependence on God. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you need to be depending on all things with God. The other thing, the reason he says that, I believe, is because in that culture, children were nothing. They did not promote, they did not do anything for the good of the family. They were a draw on the resources of the family. In the first century and centuries before and the centuries after, for a while there are women, widows, and children were all at the bottom of the pile. Some women might think they still are. But they were dispensable. And Jesus is saying what the culture says has no value, they are the greatest in the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus then tells the story of the lost sheep. Many of us think of the lost sheep parable being in Luke 15, which it is, but he tells this parable. We're talking about community. And so he's saying the least thing in your society is the most valuable in the community. And if somebody, a sheep, wanders off, even if it's one sheep, you go find it. Go find it. I think about the church a lot. I step back and I try to look at the church locally and in this context of Kingswood. I look at the church across our community, across our state, across the country, across the world. And you know, Christianity looks a different depending on where you are, doesn't it? There are some churches who are all about condemning other people. They want to know who's the greatest, and they condemn those who are not. There are churches that show love in weird ways. There are those churches who, I want to submit to you that the sheep have not wandered away, but they have been driven away by the church. And nobody is going to look for them. And Jesus is talking about the community, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be in it for each other. Everybody is important. We go and look for the lost. We look for the ones we run off. We bring them back into the fold. We are stronger together. The body of Christ. He then talks about if you have something wrong, if you have a problem with another member in the community, the way you're supposed to act. If somebody has done you wrong, you go tell your best friend and you tell how somebody hurt you. And then when you've convinced your best friend that you've been harmed by somebody else, then you go tell two other people. And then you go tell two other people. So by the time you get through and off the phone, at the end of the day, there's eight people who dislike somebody else who's in the body of Christ. That's love in the church. We want people to agree with us because we've been hurt. I don't believe that. We would rather go tell somebody how we've been hurt than go to the person who we think has hurt us. Many times we take the scripture and we think, I need to get them right, condemn them, and set them straight because they have sinned against me. We use anger, condemnation, to make them see how wrong they are. And when we do that, another person in the community leaves. Now, this is what I found in my own personal life, and it's worked. Y'all might not believe this, but I've had people who I've had problems with in my life. And what I have found is, the thing that's worked for me is that when I think something's not right, I go to that person, and instead of thinking the worst of them, I try to think the best of them. Because usually, I have been wrong before. Have you? I admit, I am not perfect. And so when I go to these people, I will say, I'm not sure, but I perceive that I must have done something to you or to us and to our relationship. And if I have done something, please forgive me, because I want our relationship to flourish. I want it to be whole. And every time I've ever done that, no one has ever said, you're right, you did something wrong. They've always said, I need to apologize to you. Or they'll say, are you talking about this time? I need to apologize because that wasn't what I saw. And we find out most of the time it was a misunderstanding. And I was just, for months, been afraid to go talk to the person and say, get it out in the open. And in doing that, community is restored. But so many times we will either hold a grudge or think they don't like me when they don't even know they've done anything wrong or don't understand what your problem is. There are ways to do that. But in the scripture, it talks about if you go to someone and they don't accept it, and then you go take them to the church, and then you treat them as a tax collector. Now, most of us would think we are to hate them, but we are really supposed to love them more. Jesus is wanting us to treat them as if they are outside the kingdom of God, and we want them in the kingdom of God, so we technically love them more. And then Jesus talks about whatever you bind on earth and you bind will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosed in heaven, earth and heaven. And then he says, where two or more gathered in my name, I will be also. For pastors, that is a glorious note on the Sunday after Christmas and the Sunday after Easter. Even though there's nobody here but me, I know that with Alan here, is two of us, and so Jesus is with me. But what we need to think about is, in the midst of community, in the midst of this community, Jesus is watching us. And the way we love one another, the way we treat people within the community. Wow. Well, that's Matthew. What does Matthew know? So we look at our text from Romans. Romans is that letter that Paul writes to the church in Rome. He most likely, they think, is in Corinth or near Corinth. He writes some glorious things about Rome. He talks about what he's heard, about ministry they're doing in Rome, the things that are great, all the ways in which he can't wait to get there and teach them some things and make them aware of some things, but he also wants to be encouraged by them. That's in the first chapter. And he moves all the way through this letter, talking to this church where he's never been. And then he gets to the 15th chapter, and he tells them, I have always wanted to come to you because I want to stop off on my way to Spain. Paul wanted to go to Spain to plant churches because evangelism is important. Amen? But he says, But I can't do that yet. I can't do that. And the reason he can't do that is because there is a divide in the church, in the community of faith. It is a schism that is cracking and splitting the church, the whole church. And it's this Jewish Christian, Gentile Christian problem. It is big as any division that has ever been in the history of the church. I'm telling you. And it is not good. The Jewish Christians said that Gentile Christians need to become Jewish before they were really Christians. And the Gentile Christians said, no, God's passed over y'all. He's doing a new thing in Jesus. And we don't have to do that. But Paul, having known that they are having problems in Jerusalem, there is a persecuted church. They are in pain. They're poor. Persecution is coming down upon them in Jerusalem. And Paul has asked for a collection, an offering, a goodwill offering. Umcor, think of Umcor, for the Jerusalem church. And Paul has planted this seed in all the churches, Gentile churches, from Macedonia all the way to Athens, all the way down to Corinth. And he has taught those people who do not like the Jewish Jerusalem church to give out of their poverty. And he says, taking the offering to Jerusalem is more important than going to Spain. What Paul is saying to the church is that the community is more important than evangelism. How we love one another matters. If we're going to be in debt, Paul writes, let that debt be to loving one another, all the one another's, to the sheep that have gone astray, the ones we've run off. We need to be committed to one another and the community and the unity within the community, because that's the thing that makes the difference. If people look at the church and it's so divided and we don't like each other, we don't like people outside the church, we don't like people inside the church, who wants to be in the midst of those people? Can you blame them? Can you blame anybody? The only thing they see is our fighting and don't really see our love for another. That's a painful thing, isn't it? You see, because Paul is sitting in Corinth. I'm not sure how far Corinth is from Rome, but it's not that far the way the crow flies. And he didn't have any frequent flyer miles to go from Corinth back to Athens and fly to Tel Aviv and rent a car and drive to Jerusalem. We're talking about 1,000 miles by sea and probably 150 miles by foot from where he was sitting to get there. And he was willing to do that for the community and for the church. And some of us won't walk across the aisle. Some of us who have our phones in our hands will not even push the buttons that will call the person with whom we have a problem. But Paul was willing to go that distance to share what's important. And what the body of Christ did for another body of Christ, part of the body of Christ, so that there would be unity within the body. Loving God and loving each other is important. And we need to learn how to love one another. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that our desire for this community of faith is that we learn to love you more, to learn to love each other more, so that in loving both you and one another, your kingdom will be made known in the here and now, and that your will be done in the here and now, so that when we go on from here, where we will go will be just like here, to the kingdom of God, where your will is done, where we not only love you, but we love one another. May it be so in your word, and may it be so in our lives. Amen.